I'm Mike, and I got my linemate Matt with me. And today, we're going to go over the past couple games for the NHL playoffs. Lightning ended up sweeping. I can't believe this, man. Lightning ended up sweeping Florida. I want to get into that. Edmonton took another game against Calgary. They're up 3-1. Game five is tonight. Carolina, predictably, won at home against the Rangers. Well, they lost to the Rangers the other day. Rangers took a 2-1 lead. Carolina won today, 3-1. That series is tied 2-2. Carolina, for some reason, cannot win a game on the road. And Colorado and St. Louis. St. Louis won, I think, yesterday night.
Yep.
That series is 3-2 Colorado, and St. Louis is showing some life there. So let's start off with the Bolts in Florida. You know, I saw something on, it might have been the Committed Indian, and they mentioned that Florida says that now they know that they need another gear for the playoffs, which makes zero sense to me. And I'll tell you why. This isn't a team where this is their first kick into the playoffs. You know, this is like their second or third year in a row, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, they were picked to be favorites the last, I want to say, maybe 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say 2 years they've been picked to be favorites. So this isn't like a new thing for them. This isn't like a new experience for them. To be honest with you, they 100% underperformed in the playoffs. And they got shut out in their last game, do or die game, which goes to show you, man, this team isn't what everybody thinks that they are, just because they're regular season studs, and they're no competition for the Bolts. There's no question between these two organizations. The Lightning are heads and tails above Florida, even though Florida's got the better regular season record. You know, Tampa beat them 4 games in a row, man, on the road and at home. What do you think is going on in Florida, and what do they do? Do you think that it's leadership? Do you think it's a lack of, clearly a lack of scoring because they got shut out in their last game?
Well, I got to give credit to Vasilevskiy, man. He is just the best goalie in the world right now. It's hard to score on him. And elimination games, he's got an unbelievable record. Even he's got like a shutout record. And when he loses a game, the next game, he's like 18-0. So that alone right there is tough. They ran into a good Tampa team. But, you know, I still think they need like maybe that game breaker. And I think they got him, but they just didn't show up.
Here's the thing.
Barkov, Huberto. I mean, they didn't play to their potential like they did in the season.
Right. And, you know, this is the thing for me, Matt. You know, you mentioned that they ran into a good Tampa team, you know. But Florida's the best. This isn't like, you know, they're a surging, you know, third seed, you know, coming in. Florida was the best team in the regular season coming in, and they couldn't do anything against Vasilevskiy. You know, obviously, you know how I respect Vasilevskiy. I'm not going to take anything away from that guy because he's a complete machine. But at the same time, they're without Braden Point. They're practically their number one scorer, and they shut out the best team in the league. You know, they might have seen Florida. They're like, thank God we're going to play Florida, because maybe Tampa's in their heads a little bit too. You know, like, God, we got to play Tampa, you know?
Like the big brother, like, who always beats you in the games. Like, they just can't beat their big brothers.
Yeah. No matter if you're like the all-state champion who's decimated everybody, you know, you're nowhere near as good as who your older brother was, who was there before you were, you know, whose statue's out in front of the school. So, I just think it's really interesting. One thing that I was considering, Matt, was a lack of coaching on Florida's part. This is a team that was built by Dale Talon. Coach Q mentored this team, brought them up, and Andrew Burnett was practically in the passenger seat the entire season. They ran into the playoffs, and we saw what kind of coach he is. This is nothing against him, but I think that this shows what an inexperienced coach does in the playoffs.
Yeah, he is up for Jack Adams. The team was very good. If I'm Florida, I would say, hey, listen, you did a great job. We want you to be an assistant coach. We don't think you're ready. And the first person I'm calling right now, man, is Barry Trotz.
Yeah.
If I'm Florida and this guy's still available, you need to get on this guy. He's a Stanley Cup champion. He knows how to win. And he's a defensive-minded guy. Florida's got a good defense core.
They do.
I just think that they need to learn how to win close games. Like, I was going to say, Florida, I think, beat themselves a couple games.
Right.
How, you cannot give up a goal with 3 seconds left in a game.
Yeah.
A go-ahead goal. Like, you have no chance. I mean, you can't do that. Those are things, like, just... like, almost like you want to say rookie mistakes, because they are pretty new to the playoffs, Florida. Yeah. I mean, they've been out of the, they got out of the first round. Dude, they had trouble with Washington.
Yeah, they did.
And Washington is washed up.
I think they're dog shit.
Tom Wilson was their best player, and he went down. I know he just had a big surgery. He's going to be out for another 8 months. So this team, I actually heard Nick Backstrom might not ever play again.
Yeah.
Something going on with him, but getting off track here. But they had trouble with that team. And now you run into an experienced Tampa team. You could, like you said, Cooper outcoached Brunette. Like, it wasn't even fair. It's like an NHL coach versus a Pee Wee coach. Exactly. Yeah, without his best high scoring player. So, yeah, I mean, it's something to look at. I think, out of respect for Brunette, he did a good job. It was just kind of the role was given to him. But I think I'm after a guy like Barry Trotz right now if I'm the Florida Panthers.
I don't see how Andrew Brunette can win the Jack Adams Award this year. I just don't. The team was so good that was built that, you know, he didn't.
He opened the door. He just opened the door and wrote a lineup.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
There's really not much you can do.
I have a problem with that nomination. I think that there should be somebody else that's more deserving.
I think Rod Brendamore gets it in my book.
How about Daryl Sutter?
Same with Daryl Sutter. I think Daryl Sutter has a little bit more high skill than the Canes. And I just think that Rod Brendamore brings out the best in his players.
He does.
And, I mean, they played great this season. They're having a great playoffs. I believe they're up 3-2 in the series against the Rangers after tonight. I don't know what it is, man. He is just like the one of the coolest guys you could talk to, and the guys love him. The fans love him. Everybody loves him. I think he is my Jack Adams pick. Just because, like, they don't spend like other teams. They're not a sexy market. They're not an original six high market. This guy continuously gets him to the second round. He's got to get him over the hump,
though.
This is the year.
The reason that I picked Daryl Sutter is because who was Calgary last year?
No one knew. No,
they were nothing. They weren't fighting for a playoff spot, that was for sure. They were down at the bottom with the Hawks, to be honest with you. And then they turn into a juggernaut this year. Yes, they're down 3-1 versus Edmonton right now, which we will get into in a minute. But I Rod Brendamore, obviously he's a great coach. We already know who the Canes are. They're continuing on with what they have been doing. The reason I mentioned Daryl Sutter is because Calgary was dog shit. They're not anymore. They're a juggernaut now.
After a season.
One season. And you can point the one big change that they had from that offseason was their coaching. And I think that makes the bigger difference. I think that he's more deserving than Andrew Brunette.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So moving on to Edmonton and Calgary, since we're talking about Daryl Sutter. Calgary is down 3-1 against Edmonton. They can't find an answer for Connor McDavid. Evander Kane's got 12 goals in this first two rounds so far, which is absolutely incredible. Here's an interesting statistic. Connor McDavid is now, looks like, number four all time with players that have played 11 games, 27 points. And then in third place, I want to say it's Mark Messier with, I think, 28 points. Oh, no, it's Mario Lemieux in third place with 28 points. And who do you think's in second place?
Gretz?
Yeah, you're right, Gretzky with 30 points. Now, here's another shocker. Who do you think's in first place?
Jágr.
No. Gretzky with 31 points in 11 games. And Gretzky was so bad is that he holds the top two spots in the stat.
There's another stat that I just saw on the TV. McDavid has a 7-game multi-point streak.
Wow.
This is his 7th game. Gretzky has 8.
Wow.
So if he gets 2 tonight, he ties the great one.
Wow.
With his multi. He's just a cheat code right now.
Yeah.
On PlayStation. He is like the playing the NHL North American All-Stars versus like Team Japan.
He's right like now. He's like in my career mode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rookie mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in All-Star mode and we're still in rookie mode.
Yeah. Yeah. So Edmonton is they're rolling. Evander Kane is turning out to be that secondary scoring that they have needed. And to be honest with you, I think that Backstrom could be that factor for Calgary. Whether he plays well or doesn't play well is going to determine on what this team does. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, today I listened to a lot of NHL radio, and I think what we talked about last podcast. Matthew Tkachuk and Johnny Gaudreau, they need to get going here. And Matthew Tkachuk needs to play the same style he did in game one. He's got to be a fierce competitor out there. He's got to be finishing checks, starting trouble, scoring goals. I mean, that's what they need. They need the stars to show up. And I think Milan Lucic actually was interviewed, and he said the same thing. He's like, we need our top players to play in a just create some top moments. So that's what I agree with him. I mean, he's a Stanley Cup champ with Boston. He knows what it takes to win. I know he's not the same player as he was in Boston, but those type of players, you know, they can change the pace of the game with a big hit or, you know, even I think game one, I want to say Lucic just absolutely steamrolled McDavid. And it seemed like Connor kind of was a little careful as he, you know, as he would get the puck and try to take like 3 steps and take off it. When big Lucic was on the ice, I think he had some second thoughts on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they need to put him on notice or something.
He's just too slow though. That's the only thing. Yeah. They can't keep up with him. If, you know, Connor gets half a step on him, he's gone. But yes. I mean, if he can get in front of him,
even if he's 2 steps behind, he's gone on Lucic. I mean,
Connor can do it to anybody, but yeah. I mean, you got to be real careful. I think Daryl Sutter's at home. He's got his last change. He's got his matchups. I think the Flames are going to win tonight.
Yeah, I think that they are too. I think this series is going to go 3-2 tonight in favor of Edmonton. I'm saying the series will be 3-2. I'm saying Calgary is going to win tonight. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Carolina, New York, man. And I'll be honest with you. If I'm a Canes fan, like you mentioned earlier, I would be really worried with this team because they can't score. They can't do anything on the road. It's almost as if they're, you know, we're looking at 2 different squads. If yep. I was the, you know, you kind of want to maybe see if they can wear their home jerseys away or something, you know.
Do just pretend like you're at home or whatever. Just right. Go on the Rangers bench, you know, go on the yeah. home team bench. But yeah, exactly. They got, in order to win a Stanley Cup, you have to learn how to win an away game. You have to. You have to win a road game. Because if you're going to get that cup, there's no way around it. You can't win every home game. So, and like you said earlier, I think they're not going to be home ice advantage. I think if actually they will be against Tampa if they really? Make it.
But, I think yeah, so. But will that even matter for Tampa?
I don't think that matters for Tampa at all.
They
I don't think
care,
you,
man.
You could play Tampa in the middle of the desert. Yeah. I think they're fine.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you think about it, I mean, they played with no fans. They won a cup with no fans in the building. I don't think it matters to them. They're
no,
just
man, they don't
they're
give
just
a shit.
Got that professional pedigree, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. If I was Carolina, I would be worried. I think if looking at this matchup, Carolina. If Carolina makes it out, I think that they have a better opportunity to beat Tampa. If New York makes it out, I'll call it New York gets swept in 4 games.
Yeah, I you know what? Against I give Tampa. Credit to against Bobrovsky. He was good, man. He was a good goalie, and Tampa's going to either run into actually, Rant has been decent, but I'm hearing Anderson is close. I'm not sure if he started tonight. I missed the game, but I caught the final score. But Shesterkin, I think, is going to give the Lightning a little bit of more of a challenge than Bob, maybe. But I agree with what you said. I think the only team that could probably take Tampa in seven and win, I think I'd go with the Canes. But like, they got to win away. You got to win a road game. So this next game at Madison Square Garden, which would be, I believe, game six, is the biggest game of their all these guys' careers. They have to win. They have to will it out and win.
Yeah. You know what would be a really interesting matchup would be St. Louis and Tampa, because, you know, you got two kind of grinder teams. Obviously, Tampa's more talented, but I think that would be a pretty interesting matchup. And I'm just kind of just, you know, thinking out loud.
Yeah, I like that, man. I think the way that St. Louis played last night, man, there was no quit in this team. They were you feel bad for Nathan MacKinnon, man. He had an awesome game.
Yeah, he did.
I believe he got a coast-to-coast hat-trick goal. That was so impressive. It looks like he woke up, and I feel bad for him because they didn't win.
Yeah.
But St. Louis, man, they fought to the end. Husso kept him in. I think they were down 2-0 after the first, and Billy Husso stuck with it, and St. Louis just used that experience to just win the game and keep their season alive. So they're going back to St. Louis, I'm sure, pumped up and ready to go. But it's hard to close with like these new teams that are in, like Colorado. It's one of the hardest things to do is close a series out. So
yeah,
they need their stars to come through. I know Kadri's been really good after all the drama that's been going on. I give him a lot of credit. I'm not a fan of him at all. But he stepped up a lot. I know he's important for that team. And actually, I think Robert Thomas of St. Louis had a really good game last night, too. He had a good season, but he hasn't scored many goals, but he scored two yesterday, two of the biggest goals probably in their playoffs. So I think St. Louis could win, man. I think I'd like to see it go seven, and we'd have to talk about it then, but I'm pulling for St. Louis as much as it kills me to say it as a Hawks fan, but I just something about Colorado I just don't like.
Hate them. I always have.
I'm not a fan.
Even in the 90s, I pulled. Whoa.
Hey, Tampa Bay Lightning are going to win the cup. That's a sign.
Hey, they're letting me know, man. They're letting me know.
The hockey gods are up there.
So, man, that even made me lose my train of thought. I've never liked Colorado. When they were going to war with the Red Wings back in the 90s, when I hated the Red Wings, I pulled for the Red Wings. That's how much I didn't like Colorado.
That's funny you say that, man. I mean, I think I was pulling for Colorado. And I like now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, man, I really don't like them that much.
Yeah.
And I hated
Peter Forsberg.
I liked him. I liked Peter Forsberg. I hated
Claude Lemieux.
I hate him.
I hated Adam Foote. I hated Adam Deadmarsh. You know, I hated that whole squad, man.
It was just stacked.
And,
just
stacked. You know, even Dino Cicerelli, I didn't like the guy playing for Detroit, but you know what? You know, what a quiet superstar Dino Cicerelli was. Multiple 60-goal seasons. I think he finished his career with 640 goals or something like that. That's fucking impressive, man.
He was a beast with Minnesota. He was
a beast everywhere that he went.
He was just an absolute hawk killer.
Yeah,
too.
He was a
hawk killer.
He was.
Yeah, but you know what, man? After watching that special on YouTube, I recommend everybody check this out. It's it's called the snowball effect of Claude Lemieux's hit on who was the guy he hit that? Was it Kurt Malpe or no? I forget who it was. Chris Draper. It was Chris Draper.
Mm.
I think he took him out of the game. Like it was a nasty hit from behind. And just like watching that, I'm like, wow, Claude Lemieux was an absolute asshole the way he played.
Yeah.
And I just got a lot of respect for Darren McCarty because he's like, you know what? We're going to get him back. And he picked a spot. And oh, it was one of the best games I've ever seen on ESPN as a kid. Wow. Skating to the, you know, center ice. And I think it was Mike Vernon at the time or Chris Osgood just a huge brawl, but I think that's when after watching that, I'm like, you know what? I think I'm on the Red Wings side now. I didn't understand it as a kid.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to move on. You know, we were kind of already talking about the Blues in St. Louis, you know, ready for these guys to get going. I'm pulling for St. Louis. Matt's pulling for St. Louis. Colorado leads that 3-2. And that's pretty much where we're at right now, man. Oh, just in. Looks like the Flames scored their first goal. 9:40 at what is that, 13-13 in the first period?
Yep, Mangiapane.
Wow.
Yep.
Calgary is up 1-0 as we're doing this right now.
Great,
interesting
great play. Yep.
Jágr's looking to start his 35th pro season, which is incredible. I'm surprised he's still playing hockey. I know he owns a team. Apparently, he has responsibility to try to bring sponsors in. He's afraid that they're going to bail if he retires for this team that he owns.
I would got just into a bad car accident too. Did you see that?
No.
He got into a really bad car accident. He's okay, but if you see pictures of his car,
yeah,
it's unbelievable how he's not like seriously hurt. So good to hear that Jágr's doing well, and like to see him come back to the NHL for one more season. It would be pretty cool.
Right, right. Evander Kane, ironically, this guy he's expected for the Oilers. He just had the birth of another kid. I don't know. Is he back with his wife? Or?
No. He's got a new chick.
Some other chick. Yeah. Mara Teagan. Never heard of her. But yeah, they just had a kid. She's she brought the she's got a kid with Evander Kane. Now he's going to play still. And well, congratulations to him. Definitely don't want to have a kid in the middle of a playoff run, but who knows, that could pump him up even more. And that's really the last thing that any team playing, especially Colorado, needs playing Calgary.
If anything, it's going to slow Kaner down, and it's a good thing for the Flames.
Yeah, no
kidding. On his mind, I'm sure.
All right, so we've got Thornton, unsure he's going to play in his 25th season. I think it's time for him to hang it up, man. I just don't think it's in the cards for him.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Jerome McGinley's last runs. Like, he kept jumping around and jumping around to the next team, and it's just not working out for him. I know he was with the Maple Leafs last year, and, you know, they choked. And he tried with Florida, but hey, maybe he'll jump with Tampa next year and they'll win 4-0.
Yeah, and then that's when they lose. Oh, man. Tortorella interviews to be the Flyers head coach. Now, what do you think about that, man? Tortorella to the Flyers. What's your opinion?
I'm not sure I understand it, quite honestly. I think Torts is more of a mid kind of on the fringe playoffs kind of coach coming in. I think the Blackhawks are in a better position than the Flyers. So I think this just shows us that I think the Flyers need a serious culture change. And I think Torts is the man to probably do it or the GM. I'm not sure. I forget who his name was, but I think he wants to, you know, be a little tougher on these guys, and he wants to bring out the best in them. Torts is good at that. Like, there's just, you're either 100% with Torts or you're 100% against them. It's probably 50-50 in the league if they like them or not. Yeah, but
really interesting.
The new age players, the millennials, you know, they're not like the old school guys that, you know, would kind of like, you know, like I when I say old school, I think of like Mike Keenan. How he treated Jeremy Roenick, he was real tough on him, and Roenick, there was respect. There was no like turning around, mother effing him and stuff. But Roenick was like, "Hey, Keenan told me if I don't start hitting, I'm never going to play in the NHL." So I started hitting. I listened to my coach, and he saved my career. Like, these new guys are like, "Oh, this coach, take example, Pierre-Luc Dubois. Remember, he was arguing about his situation with the
Blue Jackets
last season, and he kind of threw some shade at Torts, and then, you know, I don't like that, man. Torts was there before him, and, you know, it's just these star players think that they can dictate everything, and Pierre-Luc Dubois wasn't, you know, anything special with the Jets. If anything, I thought Patrick Laine was pretty decent under Torts, but we all know Torts stepped down, and he was with ESPN. Yes, I'm not sure I understand it, though. I think Torts is would be better suited for another team in a better situation.
Yeah. You know, Pierre-Luc Dubois, has he done anything, like, the past 2 years?
No. He hasn't done anything except whine about his situation and role in Columbus, and that's what he's famous for, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's not like you know, Artemi Panarin, you know, asking like, "Hey, look, I'm looking for a better situation," type of a thing, and this guy's still putting up good numbers, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Like, somebody who's actual like a star,
right?
Like, saying, "Hey, we need a change here. This isn't working." You know, somebody like that's a face of the franchise. He's nothing. He's just a He's a top six guy, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I didn't agree with that Winnipeg trade. I think they gave up on Line A too quick.
Yeah.
Line A is a pure scorer, man. Imagine him with a playmaker, like a guy like Kane.
Yeah.
He'd be even better. He'd score 50 easy the way he shoots.
Well, cool, man. Do you got anything else?
No, man. I'm just tuning into this this Calgary-Edmonton game. And Calgary's moving the puck very well. They're on a power play right now. The Oilers are on their toes, man, right now. So I like Calgary's chances. The way they're skating tonight, this first period, they're coming out flying. I'm sure the crowd's got them amped up. I would like to see Jacob Markstrom play like that Vezina candidate he was in the season. He's got to steal a game. That's what he needs to do. He hasn't done that yet.
Right.
And Mike Smith hasn't been that great, but the Oilers in front of him, or should I say McDavid, Draisaitl, Kane, they're playing awesome. And I don't know if you saw that goal that Smith gave up. It was like a 125-foot goal he gave up.
I think it was 135 feet.
135. Wow. And good for him for, you know, sticking with it. He got the win. I mean, if they lost that game, that's all like the media would be talking about. But I was a goalie, man. We'd be able
to see the flames from here. Jeez.
I couldn't imagine how it would be in Edmonton. It would just be, they'd be calling for his head. But yeah. I was a goalie, man. I know everybody that listens to us knows that I'm always saying I was a goalie. I was a stupid, insane goalie. I've given up goals from the red line before. I have a memory I was a junior in high school and playing against all my friends at Brother Rice, and my friend blasted one from the red line like a knuckle puck. It bounced. I lost it, and the whole season, the whole year we hung out, that's all I heard. So you gotta move on. Good for Smith for laughing about it, moving on and getting the W, but it's not easy to do.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, everybody. Looks like the NHL has scheduled the second round to end on May 30th. So that's the plan for them. That's the last game. Game sevens are going to be on May 30th, whether it be Edmonton and Calgary or New York and Carolina. So we're going to bring you the updated action when we drop our next podcast. And we'll see you on the next one. This is the Tomahawk, and we're out of here.